Well, after finishing college here in the Lower Mainland, I moved to Victoria to attend a small university where I finished up my commerce degree. And for me, that move to Victoria was a really hard change for me at that point in my life. It was my first time moving away from home and dealing with all the logistics that comes from being an independent adult. But more so than that, all of my family and friends were here in Vancouver. And I was moving to a place where I didn't have any connections or have anyone that I knew. But probably what made the experience the hardest change for me was that house that I lived in. I rented a room in a house with about 6 or 7 other students. Each of us had our own individual room in this large house. And what I found is that most days after the other students would come home from studying and classes, most of them would just barricade themselves in their rooms. No one was making an effort to try and connect and to try and get to know the other people who were living just a few feet away from each other. And being in a new place, away from family and friends, I felt incredibly alone and isolated. Again, even though I was living just a few feet away from people, I felt as if I was on my own in this just new place. It was such a hard experience for me that I almost dropped out of my program and moved back home because I just wanted to be around people that I knew, people that were familiar, people that I could connect with. You know, there's something about those times in life when you're surrounded by people, but you still feel incredibly alone. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Or you're around people who know of you, but no one really knows the real you. Our son Josiah, who's 4, has recently started taking some swimming lessons. And it's been fascinating to see how his instructor will hold his hands and take him deeper into the water. And it's reminded me of this idea that we all need people. Not only people to alleviate our loneliness and our isolation, but people who can help us go deeper into our relationship with God and other areas of life. This morning, we're going to be looking at an example of a beautiful friendship in the scriptures, a model friendship that we can look to as a guide to try and figure out how do we have deep friendships in our own life, friendships that help us go deeper with God. And so if you have a Bible, let me invite you to turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 18, and it'll come up on the screen as well. In this passage, the short passage that we're going to read, we meet 3 individuals. There's King Saul, who is king, as his name would describe, his son Jonathan, who's the future heir to the throne, and then there's David. David is a soldier who's just returned from battle after defeating a large opponent in Goliath, and he's being praised as a hero. And King Saul welcomes David under his arm, and he's kind of being welcomed in as a part of the family. And David, this great hero, and Jonathan, the prince, develop this really awesome bond and this really great friendship that we see take place in this passage. So feel free to follow along with me on the screen or in your Bibles. 1 Samuel 18, beginning in verse 1. It says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. And from that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. And Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David, along with his tunic, even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the example that you've held in the scriptures and David. We ask, God, that by your Spirit you would speak to us through this passage, that this story, although written such a long time ago, would still find relevance in our hearts today. So come by your Spirit, we ask, in your name. Amen. Well, this morning we're continuing our series called Deeper, where we're exploring the ways that we grow in our relationship with God. And in particular this morning, we're going to look at one of the ways that we grow is through other people. That friends help us go deeper with God. Friends play a pivotal role in our deepening friendship with God. The Bible gives an account of how our world was created. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, the first part of the Bible, you see that God speaks and creates all that we see around us. And after he creates, he pronounces this blessing of his creation being good. He creates the ocean and says, it's good. He creates land and says it's good. He creates animals and says it's good. And then God, one who is relational in his very nature, Father, Son, and Spirit, says, let us make humankind in our image. There's a desire to create people. And he creates Adam, the first human being. And then there's a problem, and Genesis 2:18 says this, it's not good for the man to be alone. A person being alone is the first thing not good in this perfect world that God has created. And so to fix the situation, he creates Eve, a relational companion for Adam. It's a reminder that we are relational people created by and for a relational God. We live in a world where through something like Facebook, you can have a lot of friends, but not really be known by anyone. You can have 800 friends on Facebook, but not have any of them know you apart from emojis and other happy birthday comments. It's been said that we are socially rich, but we're relationally poor. That we're socially rich and that we have tons of connections, we know a ton of names, we have a lot of acquaintances, but there's no real depth to those things. That we live in relational poverty, which is why so many people in Vancouver resonate with the statement that Vancouver is a lonely city. It's because a lot of us are living in relational poverty. There's a lack of deep friendships that some of us experience. And when it comes to growing in our life, growing spiritually, this is true too. We need people to kind of bring us out of our relational poverty. Morris Dirks is a spiritual director in the Portland area, and he correctly writes that it's impossible to experience spiritual transformation outside of relationships. That relationships are one of the tools, one of the main tools that God uses to grow and to shape us into his image, and to make us more into the people that he has created us to be. And there's a lot of definitions out there as to what makes a friend. What is the core definition of a friend? One person has said that a friend, you know, you have a friend when they come over to your house and their Wi-Fi connects automatically. They don't need to ask for the password. Or a friend is a person who thinks you're weird, but they hang out with you anyways. There's a lot of working definitions of what a friend is. But I think the best definition as people of faith comes from a theologian named Abraham Kuyper, who said that a friend pushes you closer to God. A friend is a person who puts their arm around you and says, there's God, and I'm gonna do whatever I can to try and push you closer towards him. There's this kind of joint vision of we're all moving towards God, and I'm gonna do my best to try and move you closer towards him. Ecclesiastes kind of describes it this way. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. This reminder that we need people, that you can't go through life in isolation or alone, or being alone or living in isolation. It actually makes life way more challenging. And so who are the people that you turn to when you fall down? Who's the person that you call when you have a crisis and you need some extra support? Who's the person that you call when there's reason to celebrate and throw a party? Who pushes you closer towards God? In this passage that we read, we see David and Jonathan give us this pretty amazing example of friendship, of what it takes to move from an acquaintance to actually being a friend. Now, when you read about David and Jonathan, you see that they had some similarities. They're both soldiers and warriors who took battle really seriously. But they're also really different and had a lot of differences in their stories. Jonathan was the firstborn son to the king, the heir to the throne, living in royalty. David was the lastborn son of a farmer. He was a shepherd. They lived in two completely different worlds, but yet they were brought together in this really unlikely type of friendship. And what you read as you explore their friendship is that what united these different individuals was their mutual love for God. That they were drawn together by their mutual desire of wanting to grow closer with the living God. I remember being at a wedding about 8 years ago, and I was invited to the wedding reception. And I was assigned to sit at a table where I didn't know anyone. And if you've ever been in a situation like that, you know it can feel kind of awkward. You're like, When can I leave? How quick are the speeches gonna be? And I remember sitting down at this wedding reception, and there was a gentleman to my right, and I began just chatting with him, kind of making small talk. And very quickly, I found out that he was also a follower of Christ, and we started to just very quickly start sharing a lot about our life and our life story and the things that have kind of made us into the people that we are, and started sharing a lot about our faith and, you know, things we were wrestling with and things that we were struggling with. And in that random wedding with a complete stranger, I developed a spiritual friend. We left that wedding as friends, and we still to this day connect once a month, and he's become a spiritual companion for me, a friend who's helped me navigate my own faith journey. And just like Jonathan and David, him and I are worlds apart. We live in two different types of worlds. But we were brought together by our faith. Our faith brought us together in this kind of mutual love. And that's part of the reason why we gather here every Sunday. This is supposed to be a picture of what friendship and community can look like. You gather with people who you otherwise would never see. We're people from all different backgrounds, but yet we gather here together each and every Sunday with this mutual desire of saying, God, we want to encounter you. We want to see you in some way. That's the thing that unites us. And it's Jonathan, and it's that desire of a mutual love for God that draw David and Jonathan together. And because of that, they do something that might seem odd in our culture today, as verse 3 describes it. It says that Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. A covenant is another word for a promise or a lifelong commitment. It was their way of saying, making a blood pact, or, you know, when kids are little and you make a promise and you spit in each other's hands and you kind of say, we're in this. We're not going to break our word. Saying we're going to be best friends forever. That no matter if you move away to the other side of the country and we're living in different worlds, or no matter what happens, we're committed. We're in this till the end. Nothing will break apart our friendship. We are committed to each other. And Jonathan goes so much to make this vow towards David. And that verse 4 says that Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and he gave it to David, along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. Jonathan knew, even though he was the prince, that God had selected David to be the future king of Israel. And he didn't allow his pride or his own status and his own right to the throne to get in the way of his friendship. But yet he lays down his tunic, his sword, and his bow as a symbolic gesture saying, you have the right to the throne. And this status of king will not interfere with our friendship. We're that committed to each other that nothing will interfere. A beautiful picture of what it looks like to be intentionally committed to another person. There was an army sergeant who was giving a talk to a bunch of new recruits. It was the first day of training, and he's telling all the new recruits what they can expect in this grueling process of training. And in his opening speech, he says, we're going to show you how much incredible stress the human body and mind can endure. He says, when you're finished, you're going to be the best soldiers ever. And before he dismisses the crowd, he says, here's your first assignment. Find yourself a buddy. You will stick together. You'll never leave each other. You'll encourage each other. And if necessary, you will carry each other. Now, most of us aren't in the army, but it's true that life can feel like a battlefield. Life can feel intense, where it feels like each and every day there's something else being thrown at us, where we're falling and tripping and stumbling, and we need someone to help us. We need someone who's standing shoulder to shoulder with us, with the eyes on the same vision, on the same mission, that can say, I'm gonna hold you. That when you trip and fall, I'll help you get back up. That when you're exhausted and you're too tired to carry on, I'll put you on my back. When you need water and you need rest, I'll take you there. I'll be that person who will be with you. I'm that committed to you. And Hebrews 10 picks up this idea when it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. We need people who can encourage us when life gets hard. We need people who will not accept I'm fine as an answer when they know that we're not doing okay. We need people who will gently call out our sin and lead us towards repentance. People who will help us find healing and wholeness as we continue to pursue our relationship with God. We need people. We need friends. Sam and Frodo are two friends in The Lord of the Rings. There they are. And on their final leg of their journey, as they're approaching Mordor and this kind of the last chapter of their intense journey, Frodo begins to lose heart. He's run out of strength and run out of courage, and he just feels like giving up. And Sam, his good buddy, starts reminding him of what life is like back in the Shire. He starts reminding him of their family and their friends. He starts reminding him of all they've accomplished up until that point. And he encourages Frodo as best he can. Sam can't carry the ring for Frodo, but he can fill him with courage and with hope. And it's a picture for us, especially as we journey in faith, that we need someone like Sam in our life, or maybe like actually the actual Sam in our life. We need a Sam figure in our life. Someone who can encourage us and can push us. No one can live our life for us. No one can problem solve or navigate all the crises that are gonna be thrown our way. But we can have people who will be in our corner cheering us on. People who will call out the good in us when we feel so insecure, when we feel so ashamed of what we've done. People who will see the beauty in us and continue to fix our eyes on the person of Jesus. We need other people. Now, if you're here and you've lived any amount of life, which all of us have, you know that friendships aren't easy. The friendships are hard, and they require a lot of work, and sometimes they can be really messy. And I know that there are some of us who tend to keep relationships on the surface because we've been hurt in the past. We've opened ourselves up to a friend and we've been burned. And so we keep others at an arm's length because we don't want to get hurt again. And that makes sense. There's others of us here who keep our relationships on the surface because we're afraid that if we go a little deeper, if we really share who we really are to others, that others won't like what they see. That others will reject us when they really get to know who we really are as people. And while all of those things are real fears and real things to process and work through, it makes life way harder. It makes life really hard to live when you just live on the surface. It goes against our design, and it goes against the way God has wired each and every one of us. We're wired not to just be acquaintances, but to have real depth in our friendships, to grow in our companionship with one another. And when you look at Jonathan and David's friendship, you see that they weren't immune to any bit of tension or any hardship at all. In their story, King Saul, the king at the time, gets jealous of all of David's success, all of the praise that he's getting for defeating Goliath and being this great soldier. And out of his jealousy, he comes up with this plan to have David killed, to have him taken out of the picture. And David goes from being a hero one day to being a fugitive the next. He's on the run and he's hiding, trying to escape the wrath of King Saul. And meanwhile, Jonathan, the son of King Saul, doesn't align with his father and try and attack David, but he holds his commitment. And he actually becomes a watchful eye for David. He encourages him and he looks out for him. And when David is just feeling like he can't go on anymore, Jonathan, his committed friend, is there and says, "You're gonna be okay." And he pushes him forward. He continues to push him forward. And David returns the favor later on when he has an opportunity, when Jonathan's life is on the line, David too spares Jonathan. There is this commitment that held them, that no matter how intense, how hard life got, they were committed to each other. They were soul friends. It requires a deep level of commitment to one another. Friends deepen our friendship with God. And it doesn't only require commitment, but it requires openness and vulnerability. It requires transparency as we seek to deepen friendships with one another. You know, although I grew up, although I went to church for most of my teen years, I didn't become a follower of Christ until just right after high school. And at the time, I didn't really have the best influences in my life. And I was asking God, would you give me a friend that could really help me as I try and figure out my faith life? And right at the time, I met a friend named Nate. And I didn't know at the time, but Nate was a Christian, and he at the same time was praying something very similar. And Nate and I became friends, and we quickly became these spiritual companions at a young age and at a young place in our faith. And we began to encourage and to kind of talk about faith and things that we didn't understand about the Bible and all this sort of stuff that comes with that process. And at one point in our friendship, Nate openly shared about some of the stuff that he was struggling with, some real personal stuff that he was just needing to confide in someone. And I was really blown away by his openness and his honesty. At that point, I had kept our relationship at the surface. I didn't want our relationship to get too deep because I was afraid people or Nate wouldn't really appreciate who I was if I was completely open and honest. But I was so compelled by his own vulnerability that I felt compelled to do the same. The one weekend as we were driving down to Seattle to do some shopping, I said to him, I said, you know, you've impressed me by how open you've been with your life, and I wanna do the same. I wanna move past just being surface level friends. And I began to give him kind of like my life story, my biography. I shared with him all the things I was proud of, all the things that I was really excited about. I shared all the things that I was deeply ashamed of, things that I had never told another soul. And in that moment of just confessing and sharing life together, we were brought together in a pretty beautiful way. And Nate didn't judge me, he didn't shame me, but he acted as Jesus towards me. He offered me love and compassion. And to this day, him and I are still good friends because we are these spiritual companions. We're soul friends. And we made this commitment once a month, wherever we are, to connect, whether it's through text or in person. To ask each other the hard questions of, how are you really doing? To make time to pray for one another and to support each other and to continue pushing one another closer towards the person of Christ. He's been a real gift to me, and it's, I think, my entire life I wouldn't be where I am right now if it wasn't for him in my life. It requires vulnerability and openness. C.S. Lewis was a great writer and thinker, and he says this about friendship. He says, friendship is born at the moment when one person says to another, what, you too? I thought I was the only one. When we act as people who long for community and we are open and transparent, we find that we're really all the same. We're all just trying to figure out life and trying to just stay afloat, and that we have more in common than we do different. Our friends deepen our friendship with God. Now, as we wrap up, I wanted to share a couple of brief things to consider as we close the sermon. Obviously, there's no three-step process for building a friend that doesn't exist. But there are some things that we can do to try and position ourselves well to allow these deeper friendships to happen. And so let me just share them briefly. The first is this, is to pray. Now that might sound like a cliche church answer, but there's something really beautiful about making all of our requests known to God, to say, God, I desire for a friend. I desire to have someone who really knows me, someone who can be a companion for me and can push me closer towards you. Would you give me eyes to consider who that person might be? Maybe it's someone that's in my story, God, or maybe it's someone that I don't know yet. But God, would you guide me in this process to make your request known to him? And the second thing to do is to ask, to actually ask someone, will you be my friend? Now, I know if you're like me, that goes against every natural instinct you have. Because as people, we want natural, organic relationships that are just not contrived and not structured. But these levels of friendship, as we kind of take our cue from Jonathan and David, require intentionality, requires us being bold and putting ourselves out there. If you remember when you were a kid playing on the playground, we often had no problems going up to other kids saying, hey, do you want to play with me? Do you want to be my friend? And somehow along the way, as we became adults, we lose that boldness to just seek friendship in a really open and honest way. And so who in your story might God be leading you towards building a deeper friendship? Maybe it's someone that is already in your story, and the question for you is, how can you go deeper? How can you be more transparent and more open as you try and propel one another closer towards Jesus? And maybe it's someone that you haven't met yet, and it's, again, processing with God and with others of who that person might be. And the final thing is to become. Pray, ask, and to become the friend that you long to have. To become the person and the friend that you want to share life with. To live as someone who is open and transparent and vulnerable as a way to live out what your heart desires. Jonathan and David were drawn together by their mutual love for God. That's what attracted them to each other. And so too for us, as we become the friend we long to have, it helps us bridge those gaps and move closer towards making space for deeper friendships. Pray, ask, and become. And again, these things are not a proven method to get friendships, but they can position us to be more open to how God might be leading us in our lives. You know, I said that on Sundays, I said earlier that this picture of Sunday mornings is supposed to be a picture of Sundays. And I truly do mean that. That's part of the reason why we talk about filling out a Connect card. We talk about joining a life group. That's why we talk about the weekend away. Is our whole goal is to try and create intentional space for friendships. That's the whole reason that we even meet here, to try and remember that we aren't designed to go through life alone, but we're designed to have soul friends, friends that take us deeper with ourselves and take us deeper towards God. You know, Jesus, when he lived on earth, could have spent his time in a number of different ways, but instead he chose to invest in friendships. He spent time with 12 friends, engaging in relationship with these 12 individuals. That was the way that he spent his time. A model and a picture for us that friendships play an important role as we try and figure out how to move forward in life. And Jesus, as he was having his last meal with those 12 friends before making his way to the cross, he took two regular elements in bread and wine, and he changed the meaning of them significantly. He took bread and he said, "This bread now represents my body, which is broken for you." And he took the cup, which was filled with wine, and he said, "This is now my blood poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. That because of my broken body and my blood shed, I don't call you strangers, but I call you friends. You have now been made friends of God because of this act that I'm about to unleash on the world." You and I have the amazing gift of having access, of having friendship with the living God because of the work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself gives us a model and a picture of what true friendship looks like, that it holds nothing back, it lays it all on the line, and it lets it all go for the love of another. May we be people who pursue genuine relationships, who try and move out of relational poverty and take our cue from Christ. Would you pray with me? God, we acknowledge that for a lot of us here, we wrestle with trying to have true friendships. Some of us are dealing with intense loneliness and feel as if we're invisible. And Jesus, I ask that as we look to you as our guide, as our helper, that you would point us towards friendships that can deepen our walk with you. Point us towards people who will be good allies for us in the journey of life, people who will encourage us, people who will shape us, and people who will mold us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask this in your name. Amen.